up, RBLR Nation? Hope y'all having a great week, great day, great weekend, whenever y'all are tuning in. This is RBLR Bulls. I am Carter Brantley, joined by my wonderful co-host, Mr. Musab Tariq. How you doing tonight, Mr. Tariq?
So far, so good, Carter. Another week down in the, you know, in the books, some cool stuff we saw. Some ups and downs. It wasn't all sunshine and rainbows, but hey, man, it is what it is. But yeah, man, that's just, you and I do the Bucks podcast. So,
right.
You know, it's always nice to see, you know, there's always some other kind of action going on.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, there's been plenty of stuff going on. Like you said, not all of it, super great. We'll get into some not so great stuff, specifically with the baseball team. But before we get into our news and happenings around the USF athletics world, we'd really appreciate it if y'all hit that like and subscribe button. If you're tuning in for your first time or if you're a returner, we'd really appreciate it. It really helps us out. But yeah, we're going to start with the baseball team because my goodness, they had a bit of a rough week. They went to ECU and got swept. They lost game three, 12-2. It was a run rule loss in eight innings. They started off Saturday, but they unfortunately postponed that game. And then ECU ran away with it when play resumed. USF just couldn't get back into the swing of things. So kind of a tough week for them in conference play. You know, getting swept by a conference opponent, certainly never the best thing. And Lance Triples, he had his reached base streak ended at 26 games. So now USF has lost three straight conference series. They're sitting at 7-11 in the American. They are not open like 7-11, unfortunately. But yeah, not the best happening so far for the baseball team. And then they managed to lose to Florida State in a bit of a rough fashion as well on April 29th of this past week. They got blown out 9-1, so that extended their losing streak to four games. FSU just jumped out ahead early. You know, they scored five runs in the first, and two of those runs came off of errors. So not the cleanest game either. Lance Tripel, he was responsible for USF's only run as he drove it in with a single in the fourth. Will Allen, their starting pitcher, he only lasted an inning. He got yanked. He's 0-2 on the year. Nathan Early was the only Bull with multiple hits. He went 2-for-4. So it was a tough game. The last time USF beat a ranked opponent was actually back in 2024, a couple of years ago. They took on ECU at home. They
managed to win 3 there. Wow, interesting. Funny we're talking about ECU again. Exactly. No, it's a full circle. I wanted to ask you though, just for those who are listening, just you know, how established, what do you know about these other programs like FSU's and ECU's? I was just about to ask you how good was ECU, but it looks like, you know, ECU's been balling in the past too.
Yeah, they're definitely.
I imagine FSU has been, you know, more stable or, you know, here longer in the college baseball game than USF. Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, FSU has produced some monsters. You know, I think Buster Posey went to FSU, if I'm not mistaken. He's obviously one of the best catchers of the 21st century. I'm trying to think of some other notable FSU. Jameis Winston. There you go. Yeah, something like that. All jokes aside, FSU, really an excellent baseball school. And Buster Posey did go to FSU. So I know Rays fans are probably cringing at that one because they drafted Tim Beckham, a high school shortstop, over Buster Posey. But regardless, yeah, losing to FSU, nothing, you know, no shame in that. Even if it is 9-1, like stuff like that happens. FSU is an excellent program. They're ranked number 14 in the country. UF and FSU, they're both great, really, in all athletics. You know, they're well-funded states, big state schools in terms of the country, and it's no different than football or basketball. They get a lot of the best athletes, and a lot of the best athletes, especially for baseball, are in Florida. So, you know, they're going to stick around. I'd probably put Florida slightly above FSU, but even FSU's had some really tremendous
Yeah, and then also on top of that, they're both in the two biggest conferences.
Right, yeah, yeah. Yeah, they're no joke. I mean, the ACC, they're not bad in football or basketball. Don't get me wrong. Like, they're actually very good.
Go with baseball, yeah.
Baseball, they're excellent. They are very good. They've got Clemson, FSU, Wake Forest. Miami's really good some years too. They've just got monster programs in that conference. So, yeah, man, FSU's they're a tough team, man. And ECU's pretty good too. They obviously had a good run in 2024. Yeah, there are some really good college baseball programs, and USF is definitely one of them. Like, USF's a solid baseball program. They've produced some major league talent, Shane McClanahan, Bryce Archie, the quarterback from a few years ago. So, no shame in what USF has been doing. It's just a bit of a down year in conference play for sure. But they take on FAU for a home series this weekend. It actually starts tonight. It's a 3-game conference series. They're 28-16 overall, USF is, and there's, like I said, 7-11 in conference play. And it's tough, but USF does have the all-time series advantage against FAU, 18-8, and they're 9-4 against them at home. So that's really fun. Also, a little fun shout out, Coach Brian Hartline is going to throw out the first pitch tonight. FAU coming in 22-22 overall, they're 500, and they're 8-10 in conference play. So both teams could really use a series win very badly. It's been a month since USF won a conference series. They took home a victory against Memphis in April 2nd to 4th during that series. So it's been a while, man. It's been a while. So USF could certainly use a bounce back. Any closing thoughts on the USF baseball team struggles before we move on to happier?
You beat me to a card. I was just going to say, no, man. With ECU and Florida State, I mean, again, yeah, just established programs, as we were talking about earlier. So, hey, man, you know, these games or these days or whatever are bound to happen. You know, it's just although it sucks and easy for me to say, but you should be thankful for the opportunity to be able to match up. Because one day, man, one day, I hope, you know, USF is really good. They get their shot against a really good SEC school like UF.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, you know, the opportunities are, it's not like it is, you know, in other bigger conferences, but when it's there, you gotta prove it. So, but, you know, we don't have to worry about these things with our softball team.
Things that's right, really man.
Beautiful over there.
Yeah. The softball team was outstanding this past week. They came back from down 6 to take down the UAB Blazers 14-9. They swept them. They were trailing 9-3 with just 6 outs left on the board, and they came all the way back 14-9. The biggest comeback with 6 or fewer outs remaining in Coach Erickson's entire career at USF, and that's been a very storied career here at South Florida. So really impressive stuff. Jemiah Nelson, she hit a 3-run shot in the 6th to give USF the lead for good at 10-9. That sort of capped it off. But Alexa Galligani, she went 4-for-5 with a dinger, a couple of doubles, 3 ribbies, and 3 runs scored. She was outstanding. Olivia Elliott tied a USF single game record with 3 2-baggers in 1 game. Really outstanding stuff from the ladies there. And they set a program record with 7 doubles in the game. They scored a season-high 14 runs. I mean, just so many positives to take out of this. But the biggest one was USF stayed tied for first in the American Conference with Wichita State at 18-6 with this sweep. Some awards sort of to hand out. Ann Long ranked number 24 in Softball America Pitcher Power Rankings. She's only a freshman too, so she could really only get better as her collegiate career goes on. She's 16-5 with a 1.71 ERA, 3 saves, 10 complete games on the season. In conference play alone, she's 11-1, a couple of saves, and 9 of those 10 complete games came in conference play. She's thrown 135 innings, and she holds opponents to a .215 batting average. I mean, a lot of that has to do with USF's stellar defense, but obviously Ann Long, one of the best pitchers in the country. She's really doing work in the circle. She's kind of their workhorse, their ace, whatever you want to call it. She's outstanding. So really fun stuff there. And then the USF softball team managed to walk off North Texas 5-4. Also, another comeback. They trailed 4-1 heading into the 6th, and they came back to win on a walk-off for the 2nd straight game. Torin Fulton, she hit that clutch 2-run home run in the 6th to tie it at 4-4. It really shifted the momentum. And then Karis Pierce led off the 7th with a double and then came around to score the winning run on a wild throw for the walk-off. Ann Long, 11th complete game of the season, 17-5. I mean, what else is there really to say? USF remains tied for first in the conference with Wichita State after the win, 19-6. Kathy Garcia Soto, Pierce, and Jemiah Nelson all extended hitting streaks to 6 or 7 games. And they were playing today at 4. Musab, do you know how they did? I want to look this up because they were playing North Texas again today. Is that right?
I think. Yep. Let me check right now.
Yeah, might as well get some some breaking news or some some game updates here on the USF RBLR show. Man, the women's softball team, man, what more else can you say? They've just been absolutely cooking this year. They're off to a tremendous start.
Looks like I want to make sure I'm looking at the one for today.
Sure.
This is not
the sometimes they have them listed on ESPN, but
yeah, well, I'm checking GoBulls.com. You know, I'm sure they're real good with it. Very cool. Well, at least when it's over, they always get it out there.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, not yet. Hmm. Ooh, let me see. If I can do it.
Oh, USF beat North Texas today, 2-1.
Oh, they did.
Yes, wow. I found it on ESPN. They don't have any listed stats there on ESPN, so I'm not sure the specifics of it. But hey,
oh yeah, no, I see it here. Okay,
yeah, another nail biter.
Yeah, we got 2-1. Okay,
yeah, very cool stuff. So USF already won the series against North Texas here, so that's really impressive stuff. And yeah, we'll see if they're how they're able to continue this season because it's been a good one. Another kind of just another checkbox. You know, another great mark in Coach Erickson's resume. He's just been doing such great work for this softball program, and this year's really no different. So it's been really fun to watch them go to work this year. But speaking of success, the women's lacrosse team, man, Musab, give us some background. Dude, won the American Conference.
The USF women's lacrosse team has been balling, man. They are outright American Conference champions.
Heck
beating Vanderbilt 12-9. And Sophia Chepnik, she tied the program record with 6 goals. She racked up an assist. Just, monster performance. They actually trailed 4-2 after the first quarter, but then Chepnik took over. USF just never looked back after that. Natalie Eastwood made 9 saves in goal to secure that win. So USF finishes conference place perfect, 6-0, only the second program in D1 history to win a conference title in their first 2 seasons, joining Florida in 2011. Oh, good old Florida Gators. So hey, Florida runs the lax world. Hey, so they entered the American Conference tournament as the number 1 seed. They faced Temple yesterday, April 30th. But before that, there were some American Conference honors I wanted to give a shout out to. First of all, Natalie Eastwood was AAC Goalkeeper of the Week. Sophia Chepnik, Attacker Player of the Week. Chepnik put 8 of her shots on goal. Didn't turn the ball over once. So the gals, they went on over to Nashville to play Temple in the semifinals. And, they came out with the win, 13-7. They jumped out with the 5-0 lead. Kind of cruise on over to 13-7 to win that. And then, Sophia Chepnik, Elise Grissette, 3 goals each. Maggie Newton added a goal and 3 assists. Natalie Eastwood, she tied her career high with 11 saves in goal. And the first USFA goals actually came from 8 different players. So I was like, dang, okay. So that was pretty cool. Just, showing you how deep this team is. And I got to say, this is probably like the big thing to kind of, highlight or think about, because we're talking about talent and all that other stuff, who wants to go to USF for baseball when you can go to FSU or UF? But I'm starting to think, man, it may not be the case like that for USF lacrosse.
Yeah, man, that would be cool.
Dude, in 2 years, look at us, man. Look how much we're thriving. So,
right, absolutely.
Yeah, so now they're going to head to the, last year's championship round 2 against James Madison University. It's going to be tomorrow, May 2nd. And wanted to say they finished the regular season ranked number 14 in the RPI rankings and then number 25 in Inside Lacrosse media poll. The 4 losses on the season all came against top 25 programs, Michigan, Navy, UF, and Richmond. So we're only losing to good teams,
Right.
Otherwise, we're balling. So, again, same thing. Yeah, we got 3 major conference awards. We had 6, on all conference teams. So, head coach Mindy McCord and her entire staff were named AAC Coaching Staff of the Year. So, yeah, man, just some phenomenal stuff all around from our lacrosse team.
Yeah, man, the women's lacrosse team, man, it's so cool that, like, it's them in Florida, man, like the 2 Florida schools for women's lacrosse kind of setting the standard for for young programs
out there. Lacrosse is really big up north, so it's not like it's like, oh, it's like a Florida thing, you know, sure. Like, you know, because for example, you know, we're about to talk about it right now with beach volleyball, but you know, you don't right. you don't think about someone in like, you know, up north, you know, like, oh, you know, I'm gonna go to college for beach volleyball, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But no, it ain't like that for lacrosse, dude. I've seen it, they have a good lacrosse community up there, so it's just, yeah, man, I'm excited. Second year and we're already doing so much.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's really cool to see them have such early success, because the hope is obviously it can only get better from here. That would be ideal. And you know, it's so interesting to me how like the different sports have the different conference alignment, because like it's fascinating that, you know, they went up to Nashville because Vanderbilt is in the American Conference for women's lacrosse.
Yeah. Oh yeah, man.
Yeah, and
same with James Conference. Then we got Conference USA with beach volleyball.
That's right. Yeah,
and I would have never thought, man.
Yeah, yeah. They the beach volleyball team, man. They're conference. I remember USF used to be in Conference USA, or
oh, really?
Was it Big East? I think so. I could be wrong. I know they were.
I only remember them during the Big East days.
Big East, yeah.
But who knows? Yeah.
I think it went from Conference USA to Big East to the American, but I could be wrong about that. But regardless, beach volleyball team is still in the Conference USA. And they took down Missouri State, but then they fell to number one FAU to end the season last week, April 24th. The USF women's the beach volleyball team kept their tournament run alive. They took a really close but really nice win over Missouri State 3-2 in the elimination bracket. And it came down to the final court where Kate Stewart and Ariana Medchill, they both won a three-set thriller to advance, and then they fell 3-1 to FAU to close out the season. Bounds and Stewart, they managed to keep it close by winning their court in three sets, but FAU clinched on court one. And it was a really, really solid end to the program's first ever season in Conference USA competition. Like, this is still a really new program, a really young program, so they're still working some stuff out. They're still figuring it out. So to have something like that happen, to lose to the number one seed in the tournament, is really impressive. Julia Panko also earned Conference USA All-Conference honors in the program's first season, so that was really cool. She was named to the second team in the program's inaugural year. She appeared in 32 matches, mostly at the number one and number two spots, went 19-13 on the year, and she had a 9-match win streak at one point, and she beat a lot of ranked opponents along the way. So it wasn't like she was just, you know, beating up on some nobody. She was playing some really tough competition. Her partner Cornelia Crudu was named Conference USA Pair of the Week early in the season after going 4-0, including a win over number 12 LSU. So her and Crudu were a really, really dynamic pair out there. And Panko, this was her last year. Unfortunately, she finished her college career with 70 total wins. She transferred over from FIU. So really cool stuff. Really cool to see Julia Panko and other USF beach volleyball players get some recognition, especially in the program's inaugural season. You know, it was really cool to see that. So yeah, any closing thoughts on the women on the beach volleyball team, man? I feel like we just started talking about them. It's already the end of the season.
I know, dude. Rather bittersweet. I know it's kind of a, you know, an overall new thing and all that. It's just real cool to see. And again, this is I think probably like even a bigger kind of opportunity for us to, you know, be, you know, the best program, you know, in the nation, just being that, you know, we're already down here in South Florida, or University of South Florida and all that, so still got work to do. But being a first year program, I mean, it's just amazing. It's exciting. I love how, you know, we got like a real cool facility. Just as a USF, you know, alumni, it's not like, you know, this is like just a random school I'm rooting for just because the vibes, or just because, you know, someone else went there. You know, to see how much it's changed, man, to see how much USF athletics has changed overall, it's honestly amazing. And a lot of fresh faces, dude. Even, you know, we're talking, I mean, this volleyball team is brand new. So, and on top of that, Mindy McCord, she's, you know, pretty brand new as well. She was at, I think, at Jacksonville University before this. So, right. Again, you know, new head coach for football, new head coach for basketball, both basketball programs.
Right.
So, yeah, man.
Changes. They never stop, man. They never stop. Yeah. USF. It's been a year of transition for USF, but also, like, really successful. So, it's been really fascinating to watch that. But speaking of successful, the track and field team, They were at the Penn Relays this past week. Is that right, Mr. Tree? Take us through.
Yes, sir. So yeah, man. Like I was talking about last week with the Penn Relays, just a big race, kind of like another kind of big meet. Obviously, it's more focused on relays, and it's also again one of those kind of meets where like the best high schoolers get invited. Anywho, but also it's like they have open competitors as well who are not, you know, who are like semi-professional. So USF had a pretty decent showing, man. You know, in the 4x2, which you know is not a very popular race. You rarely find a 4x2 minus these sort of big relay race events. With Medalist, Crowell, Broadnax, and Pettigrew, they finished second in the Championship of America with a time of 1:21. The 4x1 team, they advanced to the final. And Darian Mills, he had a huge performance himself. He finished third in the 400-meter hurdles with a personal best of 50.65 out of 39 competitors. So that was the big thing. Darian Mills, 400-meter hurdles is one of the toughest races because I'll probably say 400-meter for me. Just an overall tough race because it's one lap, but you got to run it as fast as possible. There's a little bit of stamina, but you got to start out strong and you got to finish strong. So like 150, that 150 to like 300 mark, that's where you're figuring it out, man. What's going on, dude? Are my competitors like the best of the best? Am I going to be the one that's leading the pack because I know my competition is better? Is that going to, you know, make me, you know, force me to run better? All those kind of things. So anyways, that's just the 400 meters. Now we're throwing hurdles with it, dude. Right. You know what I'm saying? Because you ask 400 meters hurdles is just, it's just brutal because of that part. It really is. Because at that level, you know, in college and then professional, you know, even the slightest little hit on the hurdle, it slows you down. And
sure,
sometimes it can cause consequences. You know, there was like little penalties and all that, you know, because you can't just, you know, start hitting every single one of them too.
Right. You can't just tackle.
It just doesn't work out. And you have to time it perfectly the way you jump the hurdle. There's a lot of logistics. So anywho, as you say, Carter, I digress before I go on a random 400-meter spiel for no reason.
No, it's
big, dude. That's really big. So that's exciting. Now, and because of that, Darian Mills, he got American Conference Men's Track Athlete of the Week. He won his first ever AAC Track Athlete of the Week award. Again, he had placed third out of 39 runners in that 400-meter hurdle race. He's second in the conference. He's 18th in the East region and 31st nationally.
Heck yeah.
So that's pretty cool. He ran a 14:29 in the 110-meter hurdles. So next up, the boys and girls are both going to be headed to Jacksonville for the East Coast Relays happening today and tomorrow. Finals mainly being tomorrow. So yeah, Jacksonville is going to be hosting it. East Coast Relays at the Hodges Stadium. Jaleel Kroll is someone to look for. Leads the American Conference in the 100-meter and 200-meter. Kelsey Singleton leads the conference in the 400-meter and ranks 14th nationally. 4x1 relay is still number one in the conference. We hold three of the top seven spots in the 110-meter hurdles. And both men's and women's 4x4 relay teams sit third in the conference heading into this meet. So hopefully it should be it'll be a lot of good news. Hopefully that we go over for our next episode. But yeah, man. Anything else?
No, man. I did have one question for you, and you might not have a good answer for it, but you'll know more about it than I am. Where in like the hierarchy does the American Conference sit in the track and field world? Is it like, because I'm sure like the SEC and the big schools reign supreme, but like, is it sort of like football?
No, it's a little easier, dude.
Okay,
bro, if you're good and you go to like Bethune-Cookman, it all comes down to time, Carter. You know what I'm saying? Sure.
Yeah.
When all these conferences have their meets, at the end of the day, even if you go to, because I'll tell you this, you know who's actually surprisingly really good North Carolina A&T.
Huh.
They okay. have every single year they have either one of the best 100 meter runner. I think they won a I think they won the last 4x1 or 4x4. But again, that happens, dude. They end up being like the champions of that event. And I also think like a school like that actually is they finish up there in the overall team rankings too. So yeah, man, you'll see like in long distance, I'll tell you, for example, like Campbell University will have a random. Well, I'll tell you this, Carter, man, these programs, man, they get whoever they can find in those countries in Africa. You know what I'm saying, dude? So sure. you just got to scout the right guy. You just got to give the right kid the chance. Sure. Northern Arizona University is one of the best, for example, like track, like long distance and like cross country programs. So because Carter, it's all about time, man. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, you know, when they see some guy from University of West Florida ran one of the best times in the nation, he's going to get the invite regardless of how dog water his team is, dude. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And that happens sometimes. Yeah, you'll see that.
Huh, that's cool. Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. Like, I guess I didn't really think about it. You're not competing, you know, whether you're in the American or the SEC, regardless.
That's the beauty of individual sports, man. Yeah. You know,
yeah, you're not competing against another team.
When like, you're
there's no like power scaling that you have to do. Like if a person has an amazing time or an amazing performance, they had an amazing performance. Like it doesn't matter what group they were in or who they were competing with. Like it's, you know, that's how it was. So that's cool. That is true. I do dig that about individual sports like that. Like it's not, you're competing against yourself type thing, you know, so it's kind of cool. I dig it. So tune back in for some more track and field stuff. Mr. Musab Tariq is the foremost expert on USF track and field. He will keep you up to date for sure. He will keep you educated. But I wanted to touch on one small football thing before we logged off here. We're having a little bit of a shorter episode than normal, but still touching on everything USF athletics related that happened. And the biggest football thing was the spring game. Kind of fun. You got to see the quarterback battle with Michael Van Buren hopefully leading the charge, although early returns. Who knows? We'll see. But they also got a new recruit from the transfer portal, Harrison Nagasa. He's kind of a defensive end, outside linebacker type from the University of Illinois. So that's kind of cool. Not really much to say about him. Kind of an unknown. He was more of he was a freshman last year, so didn't get a whole lot of playing time over there with the Fighting Illini. So it should be really fun to see, you know, if he can be incorporated into the defense. He was clearly recruited for a reason, obviously. So, we'll see how Nagasa is incorporated into the USF Bulls lineup. Were there any thoughts from the spring game, or did you have any hidden gem label that you wanted to put on Nagasa, or are you kind of just, hey, let's wait and see?
No, not yet, man. To be honest, I need to do a little bit of homework and kind of, you know, I do want to, you know, try to see, you know, who's going to be like the standout freshman or something, you know.
Sure, absolutely.
Got to see, you know,
the high school recruits.
Based on the high school recruits. I know like that one guy, something Franklin, I'm forgetting his name. Or I think Franklin too. I think he was, anyways, the high school recruit from like North Carolina. He was like one of the best North Carolina high school running backs. That's just someone, you know, that's like, okay, maybe he balls out.
Right.
Otherwise, you know, the best Florida running backs end up going elsewhere.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah. But no, it should be a lot of fun because, I mean, you know, last year that I think the wide receivers were probably the biggest like impact in terms of freshmen. Like they had Neptune and Kroger who were really good. And then you got to see Sam Levitt, you know, throw a little touchdown it was a touchdown to Keyshawn Singleton on that fake punt. So, you know, the freshmen can sometimes have unknown impact, you know, so it should be really fun to see how this team develops. And that the portal has been very fruitful so far for Brian Hartline and this new regime. So high expectations for the football team going into this season. We'll see if they can live up to them. But we're nearing the end of our episode. Really appreciate y'all for tuning in. Hit that like and subscribe button on your way out. Stay tuned because the baseball and the softball teams are still competing. We'll update y'all on how the women's lacrosse team does tomorrow when they face JMU, James Madison, in that title game. And we will keep y'all updated on the East Coast relays as well. It should be a lot of fun. So definitely tune back in next week because we'll keep y'all in the loop with all things USF athletics. So for me and my wonderful co-host, Mr. Mirsab Tariq, thank you all for tuning in. So until next week, and as always, go Bulls.
Go Bulls.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.